Hallelujah. It's forever. The Lord is so good. Well, before we get into the Word of God today, I just want to share a little bit, give you a little bit of update with the ministry. You know, if you're going to invest in something, you ought to know what you're investing in. You know, somebody called you on the phone and said, we want you to invest $10,000. Your first question would be in what? If it's not, you should hang up. Don't talk, because you're going to lose money. Okay? So, I mean, if I'm going to invest $10,000, I need to know what am I investing it in. And so there's many things to invest. God is doing many things. We're not the only thing. God's doing many good things all over the world. And I'm doing a great work here at Triumphant Word. But we believe God does make connections. And He connects us with certain people, and those are the people. You know, we can't be responsible for everybody, but we can be responsible for somebody to be givers or investors. You can't reach the whole world, but you can do your part in reaching the world. Hallelujah. And so recently we had our graduation this last June. We graduated again around 140 students. Hallelujah. And so our total is over 1,060 something. I think 65, 67, something. You know, after a while, you don't have time to figure out the numbers anymore and keep up with them. But somewhere in there, 1,065 plus a couple. And so God is working mightily in that area. We've started a church there called Kingdom Come Church. Hallelujah. Not by the government, but by us, we call it that. The government, you have to have a name that's not already used or that is not too close to somebody else. I don't know if they have or not, but the people in the church know us as KCC or Kingdom Come Church. And whatever other name we have to have, we'll have. You know, there, you can't just go get a license. You have to jump through hoops. Number one, the government just shut down everything. Nobody could get a license for a good while, but now they just open it up. But now, if we get a license there, you have to have at least 50 people, and each one of those has to have a recommendation from their neighborhood they live in. And to have that recommendation, they have to have two people who will come in and swear, give their name, everything, and swear that these people are law-abiding citizens. And so people are not always willing to do that, so it sometimes becomes a challenge. And sometimes people have not lived somewhere very long, so they don't know anybody in their neighborhood. And so those things become challenges sometimes. But praise God, the challenges are not the goal. You see, if you look at challenges, they become your goal, and you become defeated. You have to decide that where you're going is your goal, not what's in your way. What's in your way can never be your goal. Because what you look at is where you're going to go. If you're driving down the road and you start looking off to the side, if you look long enough, your car will start going that way. It will. Because you go where you look. So we have to look at the right thing. We have to look at the right thing. Because we go where we look. And so, of course, our church is all Ethiopian except me. Everybody in there is an Ethiopian. And our praise and worship is in Amharic, and our preaching is in English. So we're bilingual. Hallelujah. And so because we have not had our license, we cannot really advertise very good yet because we don't have our license yet. And so we just grow by word of mouth right now. And but we're growing. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Lord has put different people in our church, just raising up different people. And this, just to give you an idea of the, you know, people don't realize how much potential there is in small things. You know, God usually uses small things to do great things. In other words, God used one seed to save the whole world. That's a small thing, but one man saved a whole world. And so God uses small things to do great things, because in that he is glorified. Hallelujah. And so God sent us a couple. She was a graduate of our school. He was not, but he's a very influential, because in Addis Ababa, I mean in Ethiopia, about 20% of the population is Protestant. And we say Protestant, that's really not a good word. I don't know if you know that. Protestant's not a good word. Protestant means those who protested against the true church. Which means you're not the true church. Protestant didn't come from them naming themselves. They were named that by the other church. And so we say Protestant. Everybody knows what we mean, but it's actually not the best word. We're not protesting anything. We're standing for something. We're living for something. And so, but the Protestant population of Ethiopia is about 20%. And in those 20%, there's about seven major churches that, seven or eight major, they're like denominations. And most of them are spirit-filled, but they're denominations. And most of them are against the word of faith. And so, and a number of other things. But this guy is a very influential man in those circles. And so he came to me and he sat down with me. He said, you know, because see, a very big thing there is that the teaching that man is a spirit who has a soul and lives in a body is rejected by those major churches. It's a very big issue there because people taught it wrong. And so when I started teaching on it, people began to open their eyes and see some things. So this guy says, you know, the way you teach it, I can receive it. So now this guy wants to connect me to these churches so I can go in and teach. And, you know, this could be revolutionary. Now, there's two sides to it you have to understand. People who are in darkness can receive light if they do not have the wrong agenda. If you have a wrong motive or a wrong agenda, even when light comes, darkness cannot receive it. So those who have the right agenda, those who have a right heart, a right motive, when the light comes to them, they'll receive. If they have a wrong motive, it doesn't matter how much light you shine. They cannot see it because they're not looking for the light. They're trying to achieve their motive or their goal, their agenda. And so in these churches, there's both kinds of people. But nevertheless, it's going to have a tremendous effect when we do it. And so I want you to believe with me for open hearts and open eyes, and that the heavens would open up and the rain would fall. Hallelujah, upon them. Amen? Because it is a key to understanding that is a key to understanding many things in the Word of God. It's a key to understanding many things in the Word of God. You are kept in darkness if you don't understand those revelations. And so, literally, we can affect much of that 20% people. Hallelujah. So that's an amazing opportunity. And so God was going to use us in many ways. We're developing many tools to disciple people. And God is going to bring a great thing. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Now, the wonderful thing about it is that, you know, how many know in this world you have tribulation? In this world, there will be opposition. See, many people want to do something without opposition. But if you don't have any opposition or tribulation, you could never be an overcomer. Because that's the very thing an overcomer is. He overcame something. Some people don't want to be an overcomer. Some people want to live like they're already in heaven, where there's no opposition and there's no trials. So we have to remember where we live. And God called us to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I guess can remember, and maybe I've shared this before. You know, when you talk so many places, you don't know where you shared what. But if I shared this before, just shout hallelujah and like you first heard it the first time. Okay? Because, you know, just like the same thing, many of you have eaten beans many times. And you still enjoy them the same, even though you ate them again. Hallelujah. I remember we went to a trip, a missions trip, took people in our church on a missions trip to Mexico. It's easy to take people to Mexico from Texas. And so we went down there, and I remember we came back, you know, and we didn't go to a city and stay in a hotel. We went to like a little village, and you know, we even went to a place where they bathe in the river or a little pond, a little body of water off the river, you know. And we went in there to bathe, and I got out, and there was leeches on me. And so most everybody, the rest of them, decided not to bathe that day. But, you know, the leeches were easy to take off, and I got a bath. Hallelujah. And so, but, you know, we came home, and I had different people testify. And one lady stood up and said, you know, when I got home, I immediately went to my bathroom. I got on my knees, and everybody's thinking, what does she do? Is she going to thank God? And I hugged my toilet. When she got on her knees, everybody thought she was going to pray or praise God or something, but she hugged her toilet. And so people say to me often, how do you do it over there? Because, you know, electricity goes off and on. It's like the intermittent windshield wipers. It goes off and on, sometimes off as much as 3 days and sometimes off only an hour or even 30 minutes. So different time, and oftentimes when you want to do something, it goes off. And so, and then sometimes we don't have water, especially if it's connected to electricity because it pumps it up so it can come down to have pressure. And so many inconveniences there. And many people, how do you do it? I said, well, those things do not bother me that much because my goal is not comfort. You see, what will determine whether you win is what your goal is. If your goal is to be pressure-free, comfortable, safe, then anything that happens that's not part of that goal, it will become part of your focus. But, you know, we need to decide what is our real goal. Our real goal is not to be comfortable. Our real goal is to fulfill His will. The real goal in our life is to fulfill His will. If my goal was comfort, then every time something happens, I'm going to be upset. Are you with me? Every time I lose electricity, every time water, every time other things don't work out, I'm going to be upset because it's interfering with my goal to be comfortable. But when my goal is to reach people, then my eyes are not on the inconveniences. My eyes are on the people, My eyes are on the gospel. My eyes are on not what is seen, but what is unseen. Hallelujah. I'm trying to tell you how to live the right way in this life. You don't have to be in the mission field. Comfort can be your goal in this city, in this country. But do not let comfort, do not let safety, but let His will be your goal. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Somebody said, well, doesn't that bother you? Well, it could bother me if I think about it, maybe. But I'm not thinking about it because I'm on a mission. Are you with me? I'm on a mission. You know, when you're trying to get something done, you're not thinking about how you feel. You're trying to get it done. When you start confronting your feelings, you'll become unstable. And you won't finish your race. Hallelujah. It's not my message, but I felt like I needed to share that. My message is a little bit different, but some of the same things. I want us to look in our Bibles, in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. When I first got saved, 2 Corinthians 5:17 was my favorite scripture for years and years and years. Because it was such an amazing thing and such a wonderful thing to me that I became a new creation and was not the same person anymore. But in the last probably 8 to 10 years, Galatians 2:20 has become my favorite scripture. When I say favorite, not that I don't like the other scriptures, but a scripture that has spoke the most to my life. And you know, Paul says in this scripture, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. It is no longer I who lives. It is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, hallelujah, which means it's a different life than he used to live. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So those are the two things. He loved me and gave himself for me. Those are the two things that enable me to live this life. Those are the two things. But I want to talk to you a little bit different direction now, so follow with me. And if I cover a number of things, it's because I'm using a shotgun today. How many know a shotgun is many BBs, many pellets, but it makes a bigger hole? I'm not trying to kill you physically today. But we're trying to kill selfishness. And if you're not selfish, we're trying to kill lying. So, hallelujah. That may not be how you are all the time, but we have selfish thinking, selfish ways that have to be destroyed in our life. Because it is no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. Now, how many agree that Jesus Christ is the greatest leader that has ever lived? Is that correct? I mean, he is a leader of leaders. I want to talk about leadership today. Now, many times people have wrong concepts about leadership. And, you know, many people have thought of leadership as a position or a title. But I want you to know, leadership is not a position, and it is not a title. I remember when I was teaching in school over there in Ethiopia, I taught on prosperity, and at that time, that was 10 years ago, or 9 years ago, At that time, there were many people who were against prosperity because it's a very poor nation, and the main church there taught that it was spiritual to be poor and that God kept you poor to keep you humble and keep you spiritual. And so when I taught on that, many of the students had trouble with it and were talking against me outside the class. But one man in the class, an older man, was more spiritually mature, and he was really listening to what I was saying, and God changed him, his thinking. And you know, that man, even though he's just a student like everybody else, that man spoke to all the rest of the students, and every student changed and became for what I was saying. Not because of me, but because of that man. That man had no title, and that man had no position. Yet he changed maybe 20 students that were opposing me. Jesus never had a title on this earth. He was never a president, a prime minister, a senator, or a representative of any kind. He was never over a Bible school. He was never over any kind of social organization. He had no kind of position or title in this earth. Yet he is the greatest leader that ever was. Leadership is not about position, and it's not about a title. And if Jesus Christ, now, you know, sometimes when people don't realize it, but our thoughts are not filled with what the Word of God says, but they're filled with philosophy that has come from the world. Because sometimes people's philosophy that comes from the world is accepted by Christians, and we think it's Christian. And sometimes it's not. But listen to me closely. We're not talking about position. We're not talking about title. We are talking about leadership. And Jesus Christ is the greatest leader who ever existed. Are you with me? And his life has become your life. It's no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in you. So if his life has become your life, then the seed of leadership is in you. The seed of leadership is in you. Because it is his nature to be a leader. It is the nature of Jesus Christ to be a leader. Everything he does speaks of leadership. We're going to define leadership in just a moment. But leadership is not for a special few. Not everybody can have a position, but everybody has the seed of leadership in him if Christ lives in you. Listen to me closely. It's important that you understand this. Because many people have said there's leaders and there's followers. In some way, there's a truth, and in some way, there's a myth. And so we want to make sure we understand what the real truth is. Because if you don't know the real truth, then the real truth has been stolen from you. And so you have to know the real truth. And so this is important because there's many people that have the seed of leadership in them, and it never does produce fruit in their life. And they live and die without ever being fruitful. When I say leadership, I don't mean you have a position. This man did not have a position, but he led people. All of you, many of you are going, you know, when you lead people to Christ, you're leading. You don't have to be a minister to lead people to Jesus. You don't have to have a position. When you're a father or a husband or a mother, you're leading your children or your wife, but you don't have necessarily an official position in the world. But leadership is important. Most every problem is connected to leadership. Most every problem is connected to leadership. You know, lack is not a problem, really. Lack is not really a problem. Leadership is a problem. Because God created this world with enough resources that there would never have to be lack. Are you with me? But leadership directs the resources the wrong direction when it's not the right leadership. And so the resources do not meet the lack. And so I want us to talk about leadership for just a moment, because leadership really is part of your identity. I want us to look now in Matthew 4, verse 19. Because so many people have said to me, well, I'm not a leader, I'm a follower. But I want you to hear what you're really saying when you say that. It really means that you don't understand the Bible. Matthew 4, verse 19. Matthew 4, verse 19. In Matthew 4, verse 19, it says, "Then he said to them, follow me." Hallelujah. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You know, following Jesus is not about following him, his location. In the Bible, when it says follow me, Jesus was not saying, if I go to Nazareth, you go to Nazareth. If I go to Bethlehem, you go to Bethlehem. It's not talking about following him geographically. It's not talking about following his location. Follow is a discipleship word. When he says follow me, he's saying imitate me. The Eastern world has a great concept of discipleship. The Western world has so much individualism that we don't sometimes understand discipleship, because we're too busy being individuals. And that's really because of the idea of democracy. Democracy is good, but everything has to be balanced with the Word of God. And so when individualism becomes too high and people's rights become out of balance, then there becomes a problem. Anything has a problem when it becomes out of balance. In fact, without balance, you really can't do anything in life but one thing, that means lay down. Even if your balance is not good, you couldn't even sit up without help. And you definitely couldn't do anything. Balance becomes very important in life. Everything has an importance, but nothing is all important. We have to have everything in its place to be successful. You can't just have one thing, and because then it creates an imbalance. In fact, that's when people have a lot of trouble, even in their physical body, when there becomes some kind of imbalance. And so I want to talk about leadership, because leadership is so important. Every born-again believer has the seed of leadership in him. Now, it doesn't mean you develop the seed. It doesn't mean that you have fruit from the seed. But you have the seed in you, because Christ is in you. And he is leadership. He is leadership personified. And so I want to talk to you, because leadership should be part of our identity. But most people think, I'm a follower, not a leader. But you see, the word follow means to imitate. Even I hear people say, don't follow me, follow Christ. But Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. See, people say, follow Christ, not me. But that's really not what God is expecting. God is expecting you to follow Christ so people can follow you. See, people think that's humble, but it's not. It's disobedient. So God is asking, but see, follow, when somebody follows you, that means you're leading somebody. We're not talking about just leading a group, leading the church here. We're not talking about, but we're talking about leadership is influencing, motivating, and inspiring people. Leadership is about influencing, motivating, and inspiring people. And really, everyone's called to do that. Everyone's called to do that. The whole concept of following is to become like the leader. But if you become like the leader, you are a leader. If I became like the leader, I would be a leader. Because you're like the leader. If you're like the leader, you're a leader. Is that right? If you become like a leader, you would be a leader. Hello, hello? You see, following, true following, produces leadership. If you don't become a leader, you didn't truly follow. There are no followers who do not become leaders. So, well, I'm a follower, not a leader. You're not. You're not even a follower. If you're a follower, you'll become a leader. And not only that, once you become a leader, you're still a follower. Because if you stop following the leader, then you're no longer a leader. Hello? Because if you stop being like the leader, then you're no longer a leader. But if you follow the leader, you become like the leader, so you become a leader. Now, you don't have to go to first grade to understand this. Hello? But the issue is not understanding. The issue is doing. Well, I'm too young to be a leader. No. I'm too old to be a leader. No. Hello? All right. We got to understand, because leadership is how God works. God works through leadership. But the devil wants to steal your identity as a leader. He wants to steal your identity as a leader because many people become passive. And they're thinking, you know, oh, let somebody else do that. Well, let somebody else bear the burden. Let somebody else be responsible. But responsibility means you're responding to the ability that's in you. When you become responsible, you're responding to that ability that's in you. And it's no longer I who lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. You know, when I begin to see these things, it changed my life. It will do the same thing to you. So, well, it sounds good, but I have a lot of problems. If you start doing this, you might get rid of some of your problems. It's a terrible thing if problems are your master. Don't follow your problems, follow Jesus. Are you with me? Yes. Leaders don't follow problems. Hello? If you follow a problem, you become like the problem. Leaders don't follow problems. Leaders don't follow problems. If you follow a problem, you'll never get out. How could you ever be delivered from a problem if you follow a problem? You could never be delivered from a problem if you follow a problem. In fact, the problem is not even doing anything to you. You're following it. Now, let's look. I want to read it again. It says in verse 19, he said to them, follow me. You know, I mean, Jesus doesn't talk a long time. He just says one sentence. And this one sentence is enough to change your life. He said, follow me and I will make you something. See, when you follow him, he makes you something. When you follow him, he will make you a leader. He will make you influence. An influencer. You don't have to have a position to influence people. You don't have to have a position to motivate people. You don't have to have a position to inspire people. You may not be called to a position, but you're called to be a leader. See, a leader is not one of the fivefold ministries. That's a position. Leader is not one of the fivefold ministries. Because leadership is not a position. It is not a position. You are called to be a leader. You don't know how much you could influence people when you let Jesus work through you, when you let Jesus live through you. You don't know how much you could affect other people. And you don't know how much it would affect your own life when you let him live through you. Because then you would lay down everything else, because the most important thing is to follow him. How many know they laid down everything to follow him? I mean, they laid aside everything to follow him. When you lay aside your problems to follow him, you're going to find out that your problems were going to start getting solved. You see, a test, I tell my students, when I give you a test, the answer is not on the test. So you better study. The answer is in the notes I gave you. It's not on the test. See, some are looking on the test to see if they can find an answer in one question to another question, because they didn't study. You see, in life, the same is the truth. The answer for the problem is not in the problem. The answer's in your notes, in the Word of God. The answer is not in the problem. It is not in there. You see, identity is a very important thing. You know, we have today in America what's called identity theft. And it's a little bit different than what I'm going to say. In America, it means that somebody else stole your identity and is using it for themselves to make money or to get rid of your money. That's how they're making money. It's a transfer, the wrong kind. But when I'm talking about identity theft, I mean that the devil has stolen your revelation of who you are. He has stolen your revelation of who you are. And when he steals your revelation of who you are and tells you you're somebody else, then you live according to who you think you are. And you live like someone you're not. I remember one time a guy, I had a Wednesday night service. I got through his church, and I go out, and there's a guy who didn't come to church, but he's just sitting in the parking lot in his car. And he didn't come to the church. I mean, he didn't come to the service. And I go there. His name is Chris. I said, "Chris, what are you doing here? How come you didn't come to church?" I said, "How long have you been here?" He said, "Oh, I came before church began." "And you just been sitting in your car?" You know, it's not a drive-in church, right? I said, "Why didn't you come in?" He said, "Because I would feel like a hypocrite." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because I got drunk yesterday, and now I feel like a hypocrite if I come to church." I said, "Well, you are a hypocrite." He said, "I knew it." I said, "Yeah, you're a hypocrite because you didn't come to church." He said, "What?" I said, "Because you're a child of God. Church, you're part of the church. You're supposed to be in church, and you're not acting like the church. If you're acting like the church, you would be in church, but you're acting like something different than what you are." He goes, but see, he doesn't think he's part of the church. He thinks he's a sinner. Are you with me? He's a sinner going to church. So he didn't act like the church, so he can't go into the church. But see, you are a church, you are the church, and you didn't act like the church. So if you're really the church, come to church. See, you're a reverse hypocrite. Hallelujah. I said, you need to come to church so you can overcome. And so, we're talking about not letting the devil steal the revelation of your identity as a leader. Because God needs every member to do its part. He needs every member to do its part. And the only way, you know, you're victorious in Christ. The only way he can stop you is to steal your revelation of who you are. Are you with me? That's why it's the same thing you do in poker. I'm sure you don't know anything about poker. But for those of you who might have know something about poker. See, in poker, you are going to bet, or we call it bluffing. You're going to bet a lot of money to make other people think they're a loser. Even though their hand might be a winning hand. But you're making them think they're a loser. Because you're making them think that your hand is greater. The devil spends most of his time trying to make you think you're somebody who's not. You're not. Hallelujah. Everybody still with me? Listen, you have to understand these things and you have to put them into practice. You have to know. You were not just born to take up space on this earth. You are not born to be a follower only. A follower should make you a leader. It should make you influence people. It should make you motivate people and inspire people. You know, some of the people that inspire people the most are not even have any kind of position. You know, most of the testimonies you hear are not testimonies from people in high positions. Is that correct? And motivate average people, but their testimonies inspire people and motivate people. You know, I think of the story I heard of Christians that were in a concentration camp or something on that order in Russia, and they were in the, you know, it's in, they have all their camps in the coldest part, in cold parts of Russia, and so it was freezing, and so they put all these Christians out there, and they took their clothes off. And there was a pond that's frozen over, and they all have to go stand on that pond. Hours they're standing out there naked, and you're standing on ice. One of the Christians, but you know, they went out there, and what happened is that they all joined together and started singing and praising God. And for hours they would sing and praise God, and one of them then all of a sudden felt sick and could not go anymore. So he fell down the ice. They took him out and took him to the, I don't know where they took him, took him somewhere. And one of the guards was so inspired by these Christians that could praise God in such tribulation or in such hardship that he went out there and took his clothes off. And he went and stood where that guy is so that that guy could be taken inside. He said, take him inside. I'll stand in his place. You see, and none of them were leaders. They're prisoners. But they influenced that man. You see, God needs the body of Christ to rise up and influence people. Because when you influence people, you lead people. When you motivate people, you lead people. When you inspire people, you lead people. See, because when you motivate and inspire people, they start becoming like you. And that's what leadership is about. Reproduction. Are you with me? Leadership is about reproduction. I'm not talking to you about just preaching the gospel. I'm talking about living the gospel. Living the gospel. Someone said, if you live life the right way, ears are open most of the time. Because your life affects people. Your life affects people when you live constant the right way. Anything that is not constant, people do not regard it. But something that's constant, people cannot deny. If you're always the same every day, people can't deny it. If you're always different, people go, you never know what they're going to be like. If you're up and down, people don't regard it much. We don't know who you're going to be today. You know, we don't know if you're hearing from heaven or hormones. Hallelujah. You see, we don't know if you're hearing from your emotions or you're hearing from the Lord. But when you follow the Lord, Jesus is consistent. He is consistent. Hallelujah. He is consistent. See, we're talking about, discipleship makes a person a leader. Discipleship makes a person a leader. Now, leadership ability and leadership skill are not the same thing. Ability means you're able to do it. Skill is how well you can do it. Everybody has leadership ability, but skill has to be developed. How well we do it. How well we live. I want to talk to you about when our identity is stolen from us, the revelation of our identity as a leader. I want you to know when he steals your revelation of who you are as a leader, he is stealing many things from you. He's not just stealing that revelation, he is stealing other things from you. It's a package deal. When the devil steals your revelation of that you have as a leader, and some people never had the revelation, he stole it from before they had it. He kept it from them ever having it. Many people had never had it. Now, the devil loves to give you something to replace the truth, something that will make you comfortable. He loves to do that. In other words, he'll give you an alternative to the truth, but it's comfortable to believe it. And when you're comfortable to believe it, then he has stolen what you should have. Because you're going to spend your time believing something that's an alternative to the truth. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Now, I want to talk about four things that are stolen from you when he steals your revelation as a leader. So why am I talking about this? Because it's time for the body of Christ to become leaders. Because the head is a leader. I mean, if my head is a mechanic, my body's a mechanic. Is that right? If my head's an artist, my body's going to be an artist. My body is what my head is. If the head is a leader, it's time for the body to be a leader. Hallelujah. It's time for the body to be a leader. Someone said, the greatness of a leader is not determined by how many followers he has, but how many leaders follow him. The great leaders follow him. Because if they're just a follower and they've ever become a leader, they're not really a follower. four things that are stolen from us. See, that's why the thief comes when the word is sown. Because he wants to steal revelation from you. See, the devil doesn't try to steal. The devil tries to steal up front before it ever gets anywhere. He doesn't want you to know you're a leader. So what would he say? Well, not everybody's a leader. And you go, yeah, that's true. Not me. I'm not a leader. And so now you accepted that fact that you're not a leader. So you will never think about being a leader. And so then you're going to be waiting for somebody else to lead. Because you're thinking, oh, well, I'm not a leader. Pastor Ed's a leader. He is a leader. He has a position of leadership. Don't confuse the two. Don't confuse the two. Not everybody, you're right, not everybody will have the position, but everybody will be a leader or can be a leader. They have the potential in them because the seed is in there. You have the potential to influence people. You have the potential to influence people. Number one, the first thing that we're going to talk about is he will steal your purpose. Really, you can never fulfill your purpose if you don't realize that you're called to be a leader. You will never fulfill your purpose. Listen, there is a purpose. God might purpose for you to do something in this life, but there is a purpose that you have in this life that will go to the next life. It's a purpose that spans eternity. Maybe God does want you to be a mechanic in this life, but that's not the kind of purpose I'm talking about, because that purpose is temporal. And when you go to heaven, there's no mechanic shops. So you're not going to be a mechanic anymore. That was a temporal calling or a temporal position. But you see, God has a purpose for you that will connect to eternity. He has a purpose that what you do in this world affects eternity. The purpose he has planned for you in this life connects to eternity. What you do as a mechanic in this life will never affect eternity. But what you do in relation to people connects with eternity. Because see, cars are not eternal, but people are eternal. And how we deal with people in this life connects to eternity. This is an eternal purpose that God has for us. But if you don't know that you're a leader, then you will never influence people and you will never fulfill your purpose in this life. Are you with me? I'm asking you two questions there. If you're with me now, and if you're with me later. Because if you're with me now, that means you might say you understand it. If you're with me later, it means you're going to do it. So with me is a double question. You're with me today, but what about tomorrow? Oh, the pastor had a good talk. Yeah. Yeah, we're not talking about talk. We're talking about transformation. Everybody can talk. And so, the devil will steal your purpose because you will never know who you were. And you'll never influence people. You're waiting for somebody to influence you. So, that's fine. You should get somebody to influence you because you have to follow someone to become a leader. But if you just let them influence you, but you don't become an influencer, then you become a hearer and not a doer. We have to go beyond hearing. We have to go beyond saying, I'm with you. With you doesn't mean just you hear me. That's why I'm saying it's a double question. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Hallelujah. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, we're talking about, this is the very core of being the body of Christ in this earth. The second thing that the devil will steal from you is not just your purpose, but your destiny. Your destiny. Listen again. Your destiny is not just what have a twofold destiny. You know, many people talk just about this world. But this world is the drop. The next world is the ocean. If you spend all your life talking about the drop, don't miss the ocean over the drop. Because it's not just about what you achieve in this life. It's about whether you achieve His will in this life. Because His will goes to the next life. His will is eternal. His will. See, you can build a big empire here, but not have anything in the next life. Don't trade success in this life for success in the next life. I'm not telling you can't have success in this life, but make sure it's the success that connects to the next life. You can have success in this life, but it needs to be the success that connects to the next life, which goes along with your purpose again. And don't let what you have done in the past, including before you came to church today. Yeah. When I was pastoring, you know, the favorite time for people to fight, for some people, especially immature people, the favorite time to fight was Saturday night and Sunday morning. Some fight Saturday night, and so they don't get up Sunday morning and go to church. Some fight on the way to church Sunday morning, and so by the time they get to church, they're just in church, but they don't hear anything. I remember one couple in our church, you know, every Sunday they were in church, you know, husband, wife sitting there, and their kids sitting next to them, you know. And, you know, when they had a fight, I knew. Because when they had a fight, the children were between them. When they didn't have a fight, they were sitting next to each other. When they had a fight and service was over, one of them would go to the car, and the other one would act like they're happy. Hello? We're talking about real people. Hallelujah. Hopefully you're real people. So the devil likes to get you to fight so he can steal something from you. Because when you're fighting, you're not focused on revelation. You're focused on demonstration. You're demonstrating your anger or something. Hallelujah. Your tongue is not speaking words of life. Your tongue is a sharp sword to cut. Hallelujah. We have a better way. And so Listen to me. Some people, even right before they come to church, they fought. Hello? Hello? Even though some people don't fight, they come to church with a bad attitude. Because they didn't actually fight, they just put it on hold. And so they're in church and it's on hold, but you know we will return to the ring. One person said, yeah, that's why I'm not married. Hallelujah. Okay, now listen to me. The devil would love to use your past against you. Are you with me? But listen to what the Lord said to me that changed me. He said, the Lord said to me, I planned your future before you ever had a past. And when I planned your future, I knew everything about you and everything you would ever do. I planned your future before you had a past. How amazing. So don't spend your time on the past. Just ask God to forgive you and connect with the future. Because Ephesians 2:10 says, you are God's workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, or for the purpose of, unto good works, for the purpose of good works, which He has before. Which He has before. That means before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, He planned for you to do these good works. That means He had a plan for you before you ever did anything wrong. If you do something wrong, don't let it become Lord. The Lord is still the Lord of the future. Don't let your past be the Lord of the future. You're God. He is the Lord of the future. Don't let what you did yesterday steal your future. Deal with it quickly and move on. Deal with it quickly and move on. Don't let it have the importance. Don't let your past have more importance than your future. Don't let your past steal your future. Because, see, I can come here with a bad attitude and miss the word that I need for that day, and it's stealing my future. Because that's the word I need. And when that happens consistently, He weakens you and weakens you until you can't see anything but the problem. The third thing. I am going to quit. It's just hard because I'm eternal. Hallelujah. Like one fellow said, you know, if I take too much of your time, I'll pay you back when we get to heaven. But if you worry, you should rejoice because I'm taking time so you don't have to worry. Hallelujah. The next thing that he steals is your inheritance. He's stealing your inheritance. Listen, connected to leadership is favor. When you start leading, it will give you favor with man. When you don't have favor with man, you're going to miss blessings. He's going to steal blessings of your inheritance. We have an inheritance. But you know, when you have an inheritance, you have to do something to take hold of it. You have an inheritance, not only as a child of God, but you have an inheritance as a leader. You haven't. You know what the Great Commission is? It's to multiply. Isn't that right? Listen, your inheritance as a leader is to multiply. Oh, hallelujah. Because the people you influence will be your inheritance. Especially in the life that is to come. In this life and in the life that is to come. They will be your inheritance. See, we always talk about material things. But listen, spiritual things will last forever. Listen, I don't care if you have BMW, Rolls Royce, every car known that you like. None of them will go heaven with you. But people will. And when they go to heaven and you influenced them, it will speak for you. It will not only give you favor here, but in that lifetime. The fourth thing. The fourth thing. Everybody's with me? Remember, two meanings. It steals your value. It steals your value or your importance when you don't know who you are. It steals your value or your importance when you don't know who you are. Do you know that most of the world is trying to find value? But we already have it in Christ. But most of the world, and even most Christians, sad to say, are looking for value. But when you know you already have value, you don't go looking to get value, you go looking to give value. You see, many people are looking to get value. But when you're a leader, you're looking for people to give value to instead of to get value from. If I'm trying to get value from you and you don't give it to me, then there's going to be an upset. And people look to different things for value. Some people try to get their value from education. They want to get a bachelor's and then a master's and then a PhD. And then they want their PhD to have a PhD. Because education makes them somebody. Do not let anything in this world give you value. Anything in this world that gives you value means that the devil has access to you. But my value doesn't come whether I'm a bachelor's degree, a post-master's degree, PhD. Someone told me a PhD means a post-hole digger. Actually, degrees don't mean anything if you didn't learn anything. You know, I'm often tempted, to ask, when you go to a lawyer or a doctor, I said, what kind of grades did you make in school? You know, nobody ever asked a doctor that. How many know he could have barely passed? But nobody asked him his grades or lawyer. But see, education is not the source of our value or importance. Some people look at possessions. I remember when I was pastoring in Honda, there was a drug dealer there. And he was different drug dealers are different, but what was important to this drug dealer is his car. His car would blind you from shining. Are you with me? And the sound, if you didn't get blind, you would be deafened by the sound. Boom, boom, boom. Not only from the motor, but from the music. Okay, so if you're not deaf and blind, it's because you're like him. But then I went to his house. Wow, it was like going to a different world. In his house, trash is everywhere, falling apart. He doesn't have anything fixed. Except he has a good TV. But see, possessions, certain possessions were what gave him value. If something happened to his car, his world would be over. But he could lose his whole house. Are you with me? I remember a guy from Uvalde. He was a minister, but he also worked for his brother who had a furniture company. He says he goes to many houses to possess furniture, and when they're caught carrying their furniture out, the guy is sitting on a bucket watching TV because he will let his furniture go before his TV. Listen, I'm not talking behind your back. I love you too. All right. And so, listen to me. Don't let anything on this earth give you your importance. Not your possessions, not your social status, not your education, not your talents. Listen to me. Not anything. Not your position. Not your title. Don't let anything. Whatever you look to on this earth for importance, significance, or value, you have just given the devil a weapon against you. You've given him something to use against you. But my value is eternal. My value comes from above. My value comes not from what I did, not from what I paid, but for what he paid. My value comes from what he paid. Because if he would not withhold his own son, how shall he not freely give us all things? You see, I don't know if you realize it, but Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. If you go to the book of Leviticus, you will find out that 30 pieces of silver is the cost of a slave. Jesus was sold for the price of a slave so you could have the value of a king. He was sold for the price of a slave so you could have the value of a king. Listen, the devil doesn't want you to know how important you are, not only to him as a child, but you need to know your importance to the kingdom of God, your importance to the work of God, because he before ordained good works. Listen, don't try to find out what you're supposed to do in life. Try to find out what he planned for you to do. See, a lot of people say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, find out what he planned. Find out what he planned. It's not about what you want to do. You can do it, but you'll lose what he has planned. And he knows more than you. And he has more for you than you can get for yourself. So, what am I saying to you? I'm saying it's time to rise. You know, Isaiah says, arise and shine. Arise and shine. See, when we don't arise, you know, I like the lepers. Uh-oh, I'll quit. I won't arise anymore. Hallelujah. Whoa. Sorry, Pastor Ed. You know, it's hard to understand time when you're eternal. It's also a lame excuse. And so, but let me finish this because it's important. Let's look at Isaiah real quick, and then we're going to stop. Because if there's ever a time where we have to rise up, it's now. Isaiah 60. Somebody said, well, we're just a few people. That's all Jesus started with, is just a few people. He has changed the world with a few people. Isaiah 60, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." Not will come, has come. "And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." All of you see darkness increasing all the time. If the darkness is increasing, you can shine brighter. All lights shine brighter when the darkness is increased. And it says, "But the Lord will arise over you." Oh, hallelujah. "Will the Lord, and the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I want to pray for you. Just, you don't have to come up here or anything, but I want to pray for you because it's so important. You know, it's not what happens in an event, but it's what we do with our life. Events are wonderful, but they are only one time. Our life is the whole thing. So I want to pray for this congregation right now.